This is rather a last-minute thing here tonight. A phone call late yesterday afternoon. Brother Rook said he wouldn't be here. He's better, he says. But he said, I'm not what I... able to come and preach. So I thought that as a last-minute man that I'd have the elders talk a little bit. I didn't know what Bob was going to talk about, and he didn't know what I was going to talk about, and I just want to continue from Wednesday night about spiritual health. And tonight my thought goes along that same line, how the necessity of food, spiritual food for good health. And that's what I was talking about. He has food for thought. You'll see what happens, won't we? Now, I apologize to Brother Rick about that announcement this morning concerning tonight, but hey, just so much time and didn't get done. And apologize for the scribbling here a little bit, but that's 7:15. But we're used to scribbling on this blackboard. Do you know that? Not just the preacher either. All right. So Brother Bob would like us to sing these, at least these two hymns. So let's turn to 370 and 371, and then he'll come, and after he's through, I'll have us sing a couple hymns, and I think it'll be we should be done before 12 o'clock, don't you think? Okay. Just so we have time to have some snacks. Get them all worried, Bob. 370, please.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Blessing, you used him, may you encourage him, and also with your help as far as Betty. Now once again, our Father, coming back here tonight, may your will be accomplished. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, this will be a little bit different tonight, I'm sure. Let's hope that it brings honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. When I say food for thought, basically saying that another way is something to think about. We often hear how we should be going forth into this dark and sinful world as lights and as salt, as to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the situation as being in a warfare, the United States Army doesn't send its troops out into the field directly from the recruiter's office. They send them to boot camp. They train them. They equip them. And I think it's only fitting that we do more equipping for the battle. And to do that, I think we've got to be wise as serpents and harmless doves. As we go about our individual lives, meeting people, having people in our own families, and as we go from day to day, we meet perhaps different people, different circumstances, and different challenges. When I was a young fellow, long ago, my brother was kind of a plumber, my oldest brother, and I dug ditch for him. That's before we had all these nice machines, these backhoes and trenchers and things like this. I remember one particular job he had me on. I was digging up asphalt with a pick. You think that's fun? The next morning, my hands would hurt so much. But in that task, it was a lesson to me. Because when I was digging ditch, I looked for the stones, which certainly were there. But in order to get that stone out of the way, you had to get in a certain spot where you could pull him out and pull it loose. And thinking of that same type of work, it's a bit like that, I think, as far as dealing with people's souls, people's lives. We have to find that spot. We have to be searching that we may pull them into the light, pull them out of the fires of hell. And some of the ways which we can do that, I have picked some scriptures here that I think we can use as examples. For instance, in Colossians 1, verses 1 and 2, many of us have Roman Catholic neighbors, friends, associates, and to try to find something that would get to them, kind of rattle their chain, in other words, get them to think, food for thought. And one of the things that they like to do is have the Pope make saints. Huh? The Pope makes saints? Uh-uh. What does the scripture say? 1 Colossians 1, 1 and 2, where Paul, the great apostle, says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the what? To the saints, who in faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How did those saints get there? How did those saints get there? Certainly the Pope didn't put them there. And the Pope couldn't put them there. The Pope never could put them there. For as we believe here, a saint is a born-again believer. Nonetheless, none more. So, if we were dealing with our Roman Catholic friends, we might, if we can work the conversation around, and say, well, what do you think a saint is? And how does one become a saint? There's that little bit of hole around the stone. Where you get that pick in there and pry. This is the type of thing I think that we could use more often. Not that it's a cure-all or fix-all, but the idea is to get them to think. That you might put some kindling there so that the Spirit of God can fire it up, open their eyes, and bless them with salvation. And that, as far as our Roman Catholic friends, and I say friends, because some of them are truly friends. But how about our Jewish friends? Our Jewish friends. Where can we jar their chain. Well, in the Jewish religion, and by the way, this is the Jewish scriptures right here in this book. And I'd like to call your attention in our scriptures to Hebrews 9, verse 22. Where it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, I don't think these Hebrew people like to talk too much as far as religious is concerned. I know they don't like tracts. I had a customer of mine, a prominent Jew in the city of Williamsport. I left the tract geared toward his situation. And when I got my check, he said, this man is lost, that wrote the tract. He said, I shouldn't be mixing religion with business. So I don't know if it had any effect on his life or not, but I know he's heavily involved with the Jewish religion. But in another occasion, I had one of his sons talking a little bit, and I brought up this subject, this is what we discussed here about blood. I says, don't the scriptures, your scriptures, say that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins? I says, how do you account for this situation? Well, you know what his answer was? I don't know. You'll have to ask the rabbi that. So I don't know if it had any effect on his life or not, but I hope it rattled his chain. So, again, that's in Hebrews. And if I take this scripture here, what they call it, and you'll find that there's no New Testament in here. There's Proverbs. But if we look at Leviticus and chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement by reason of life. Amen. So basically we're saying the same thing. Right there it is. So if you come up against a Hebrew friend of yours, tell him to look and study his book a little bit. And then try to find the answers. So, again, we have then our common ordinary, shall we call him, neighbors and friends who will soon be out mowing their lawn on Sunday and going to the ball games and most anything outside, swimming, fishing. They'd be hunting if we could. What do we do about them? How do we get to them? What kind of a bomb can we drop on them? Well, if we look at Hebrews again, verse 9, and I have verse 27 here. And it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready? I think that the average person, they might know the so-called Christmas or so-called Easter stories. Been taught them since they're big enough to walk almost. but I doubt very much if many have heard this scripture. But they know the funeral home is down the street, and the cemetery is up on the hill. And they're, perhaps their grandparents, or at least their great-grandparents, are in that cemetery. And it don't take too much to remind them that each one will be going there. And the question is, where will your soul be? Where will your soul be? So this is one place where we might jar them. Other places might be, did you read the newspaper last night or yesterday? Did you see where so-and-so died? Did you see where so-and-so? Did you see where that 12-year-old boy just got died? Did you see where that famous general died? Did you see how many people died lately? Look at the obituaries. It looks almost like that they should have a separate edition of the paper sometimes. All the people in there. So this might be a way to jar their chain. What if that was your name in the obituaries? Where would you be? Where would you be? When's the last time you darkened a church? When's the last time you opened a Bible? There are many ways to, and I'm sure you can think of many, to jar their chain, to pick at their situation. I think it's one way that takes patience, a lot of patience. If we have friends which we associate with, various things, at work, or hobbies, or sports, or whatever, that if you can kind of, they probably won't listen to you if you come out right and start pounding them with scripture. But if you can kind of observe them, and when the opportunity comes, like, say, did you see the obituaries yesterday? Did you know Joe died? This type of, I call them bombs, can shake people and get them to think. The problem with thinking is back in high school we had a speaker, I don't know who he was or what he was for, maybe it was even the principal, who said that a certain percentage of people think, certain people think they think, and a lot of people just don't think. So you have to kind of put jumpers on your battery and get them charged up. So if we think, when we're in situations, and this I find is sometimes difficult to do. We'll be in a situation where it'd be an ideal conversation to honor and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't think, if we're not sharp, if we're not on the ball, we might let it go by. And I think we have to train ourselves for the battle so that we can be effective soldiers And if we're effective soldiers, what's going to happen? The enemy's not going to like it. We're going to find that we're in the battle. But sometimes, so to speak, is all hell shall break loose. So, but we should have patience and know that our Lord and our God is faithful and he can do all things well. Amen.
You need that speaker?
Yeah.
And while he's doing that, let's turn to 3 John. And thank you, Bob. And that is one of your gifts, to drop some bombs, brother. I've appreciated that in the past. I think it's important that we use the Word of God with that, but he gets some thinking. Now, I've been on this subject. It's not new. And fact of the matter is, I asked the question, is your health good the last time I was in the pulpit here? And used it as an occasion that you need to, people go for a checkup, and that's good. But spiritually, your spiritual health. I was talking to a Mennonite chap, and he didn't get it from me. So maybe I don't know how to put this across, but I'll certainly try. I showed you that in Timothy or Titus that the word sound is a Greek word. It is hygiene, hygienic. So we need good spiritual hygienic, or hygiene, should I say. I have a healthy doctrine and healthy faith and healthy spirit or speech. And we need healthy doctrine. We know that. You can spiritually get a lot of junk food. Now, I'm not trying to be novel. I'll tell you that right now. So just get that out of your mind. But in 3 John, the third epistle of John, these first two verses, food for spiritual health. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That jarred me. For I said to myself, that doesn't seem to be quite right. I better go to the the authorities in the Greek and see what that doesn't quite make sense, because it says that if your soul's not prospering, he's saying that your health, your physical health, is calibrated with your spirituality. Yeah. What? Beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Okay. Prosper in all things, but health. And I take that to be physical health. And then even as thy soul prospereth. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Are you trying to say to me, Lord, that as my spiritual side, my soul, if that's not prospering, well, I can't expect good health? It just seems like a rather strong verse here. So if I'm not careful spiritually, then it'll affect me physically. Hey, what would happen, brethren, if you, your health was dependent upon your spirituality? Your physical health depended upon your spiritual health. The spiritual and the physical, they're closely connected. It says right here, buddy. It says, if you're not prospering spiritually, don't expect good health. But, you know, the translations and versions, they try to change that around. And I say, okay, boys, do what you want to do with it, but I got a lesson from it. My lesson is, we better pay attention about our spiritual health. You know, I know that connection is very real. There's a parallel between the physical and the spiritual. I know that a healthy spiritual life affects us physically. Oh, no, no. Oh, yeah. Let a doctor talk to you. Don't let a preacher talk to you. What do preachers know about the health, so to speak? Dr. Michael Jacobson, what does he want to tell us? Just came in the mail Thursday, associated with the Christian Healthcare Ministries. And he's talking about keeping your heart and all fine. And he goes on like this. He says, research is linking emotions with harmful health effects. If you've been reading the newspaper, listening to the news, you know they've been saying that your emotions affect you physically. You say, well, I've known that for years. And I won't go into detail how he explains here, because it shows how that there is such a thing as called a secretory IgA levels in our bodies, which is even in our saliva. And he was trying to show here by study the antibiotics, they are secreted by the body surfaces. And it says these body fluids, such as saliva, and along the intestinal tract. Here's the point that he wants to make. One research study said this: people who recall an episode of intense anger or frustration, their secretory IgA level dropped 75% in an hour. So what? Well, it said these levels were still below normal for six hours later, only after 5 minutes of experiencing some negative emotion. Okay. Then it said, conversely, people who had for 5 minutes recall an episode of deep appreciation or love had an IgA level. The levels rise to 40% above normal. So the IgA levels remain elevated for more than 6 hours. Now, what's the point? There is a connection, brethren, between emotions and our physical health. And there's a connection between the spiritual health and physical health. And I like this. And I'll stop here real quickly. He says this. Doctor now. Research confirms that a, quote the scripture verse, a merry heart doth good like may medicine, but a broken spirit drieth bones, Proverbs 17:22. Well, we've heard that before. For example, he said a major depression is now considered a key predictor of heart disease. It is, in fact, stronger than any other physical risk, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or diet. Another study, recovering heart patients who were depressed because they suffered a heart attack were 8 times more likely to die suddenly than patients who were hopeful and happy and had survived. Similarly, men with high anxiety, that is, fears and worries and insecurities, were 6 times more likely to experience sudden cardiac death than other men. So what's it saying? It said there's a connection between our emotions and our bodies, and even if you're doing a little bit of study, you're hearing that people are saying there is a spiritual connection between the physical and the spiritual. Now, would I be radical in saying that we have a modern God in our culture spending all kinds of money, that enormous amount of money and time in the pursuit of good health? Would I be exaggerating it? Not at all. It's a modern God. Well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, all the ideas about diets and exercise, physical, and you say, all right, how about some food for thought, Brother Bob? Where is the relationship, one's relationship with God spiritually, in all this enormous amount of money being spent medically and physically, diets and exercises of all sorts? You need to buy this machine. Got to do this and do that. Where is the relationship of God in all this? Well, that's not important. I just showed you a doctor said it was. Well, all right. But it starts with a relationship with the Lord Jesus, doesn't it, friends? That's where it starts. And so I can use the bombs, and I think they're good, but I've got to talk about the Lord Jesus. Because if he isn't in this whole thing, they're not going to get saved. And so this matter of spiritual connection, it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I know that. Well, that's fine. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now then, so-and-so died, and burn him up. Excuse me? It's called cremation, preacher. Same thing, isn't it? What? Know you not that your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest? See how pagan we've come? There is a connection. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and the body. This business of needing food for spiritual health is very important. And we need to be careful. We need to care for our physical bodies. But I want to tell you something. Are they going to live forever? Huh? The body going to live forever? No, it's going to go into the grave. So, put a real expensive corpse in there, will you? Spend all kinds of money and then throw it in the grave. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I said to my dentist, I said, hey, if you can fix that, I'd appreciate it, but I don't want to put a lot of money in it. I said, I don't believe in putting an expensive corpse in the ground, spending all that money. He said, you got a good point there. Do I? With a modern God, you've got to go along with the system, boy. No, we don't. This matter of spiritual health has to do with one's heart. Just read to you about the heart. Well, the Bible definition of heart, that has to do with the intellect, emotion, and will. Sure it does. If somebody say, is he living? Hey, is he dead or is he alive? And so you go and you check the pulse. The Bible says we're to check our pulse, spiritually speaking. There's a connection. Have you checked your pulse lately? Spiritual pulse. Because you can be dead or you can be alive. And I think it's good. And we got time, don't we, brother? Let's go to Ephesians. You want dead people? What? Who wants to talk about dead people? Ephesians chapter 2. You need to understand this concerning health, spiritual health. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. Look at a couple of verses there, like verses 1 through 3. What does it say? Well, it says that there are people who are dead. As far as spiritually, they're dead. And you hath ye quickened, that is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're in time past. This is what we find walking out there. We're in time past. You walk according to the course of this world. Yes. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3. We're in time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. These are dead people. These are family. These are relatives. These are neighbors. And you don't see that? The need for spiritual health? Look at verse 3. Among whom also we had all had our conversation, or the way of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and of the mind. And we're by nature what? Children of wrath, even as others. Is that so? The Bible says, God says it's so, that people are dead. Spiritually dead. Well, he does say that he quickens. Yeah, but Romans 8 makes it even maybe more vivid the difference between a dead person spiritually and a live person spiritually. And that is in Romans, the 8th chapter. I thought you'd try to communicate to me, Brother Dan. Your mom communicates with me. And all right, Romans say, oh, well, so spiritually, well, you got to be spiritual. Everybody says you're spiritual, New Age people. Now, wait a minute. I just showed you that you can be dead spiritually. Now, it says you can be alive spiritually in Romans, this 8th chapter, which I think is certainly most precious. And let me start at verse 5. Hey, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Yes, they that are after the Spirit, they the things of the Spirit. It shows here a contrast already. There's a contrast. There's a parallel. There's a correlation between the spiritual and the physical. Here it is. Before it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh. Oh, how wonderful. But in the Spirit, you can be alive spiritually. In the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if any, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now listen, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by this his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Brethren, I want to say this to you. If you think that there's no difference between people and that he's a good man and so forth, but he can be dead if he doesn't know Jesus Christ, that's the beginning, he needs to know Christ. And then he made alive and spiritually made alive. And this business of our spiritual health is very, very important. If we could somehow rather kind of get it in gear so that we spend the time that we do upon these bodies and spend it spiritually speaking, if we spend more time with the spiritual aspect of us. Some food for spiritual health. So we check the heart to see if there's any pulse there. We check it spiritually. Does it have, do you have the mind of Christ or do you have the mind of the carnality of the world? Boy, don't be given tests now, preacher. Don't be given some tests. Because it'll embarrass us. Well, the question is, do you have spiritual life? When we get some pain, you say, you know, something's not right. I guess I better go see the doc. Something's not right. I have some pain. Well, maybe you better go see the doc. Spiritually speaking, you can get pain. And say, something's not right. I just am not liberty of the Spirit, and I'm not enjoying. I don't appreciate church, and I don't like his preaching, and I think it's boring, and I just don't get anything out of it at all. You may be dead in trespasses and sin and not saved. Because in Christ we're alive. But this life has to be intense on. After you know the Lord, then there's this period of time that we live here. It's a transition time, and we're making do with time and intensifying for the blessedness comes in the future. Blessedness comes in the future, knowing more about the Lord. Does sin bother you? Well, does it? Check the pulse, but you also check the lung. Is he breathing? Had a little goat here. Died. This past week. I had to do it for the little goat. Was it breathing? There's a heartbeat. And that's what we do. They do this to see whether you're alive. Spiritually, we need to do this. Check the pulse of our spiritual heart. Check our lungs. Do we really pray? Using the lungs, spiritual lungs. Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? I tell you, I have to close my eyes and to give attention when I come to church. I want to get something. I don't want to just say, I went to church. Done that, been there. No, I want to get something. Have you a thirst for righteousness? I guess this will soon be over here, I hope. Do you know about the great physician, spiritually speaking? There are problem areas. problem areas. Spiritually, physically, we have problems, yes. You have cancer? Will they do surgery? Yes, possibly. Or have radiation or chemotherapy? They have something to do for cancer. We have something we can do for our spiritual problems. There's a correlation. Quit thinking just on the physical. Think spiritual. To be spiritual-minded on these matters. 1 John says, yes, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us all right. Hey, you got a problem? There's where you go spiritually. It can be resolved. Brethren, well, I need some resolve. Well, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, because we need to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. You know what 11 is, but how about 6 and 7? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. All right. Call ye upon him while he is near. Yes. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Did you ever hear of a prescription? Say, well, I use a lot of them. Here's a spiritual prescription for spiritual health. What does the Bible say? Forsake your way. God says, give you this prescription. God's talking. And he said, not only forsake your way, your thoughts, return to the Lord. He'll have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will what? Abundantly pardon. You want prescriptions? You want the great physicians to help you spiritually? Your health spiritually? Look at Psalm 119 while we're here in the vicinity, and I'll soon be finished. I appreciate sharing this with Bob tonight. Psalm 119, look at verse 11. Why? Well, it's relevance, I believe, for it says this in verse 11. Yeah, here we are. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, so that I might not sin against thee. You know, we're so busy. I say even physically we're so busy about our health that we don't have time to read the Bible. I gotta go. Bible says you read the Bible and put it in your heart. Spiritually, you're not what you ought to be, and you're not happy spiritually. Are you doing any Bible reading at all? Personally. Not family devotions only. I think that's great. But personally, reading some Bible. Oh, we do need it. Hide it in your heart. And pray. Well, I'd like to say this. If we don't pay attention to this and say, well, I don't know, preacher, I guess I'll go along like I've been doing. All right, then, I tell you what. You're either growing spiritually or you're spiritually weaker. It's either one way or another. If you're healthy, you're growing. Spiritually, if you're spiritual health, it's good, you'll be growing. If your spiritual health is not good, you'll be weakening. It's so interesting. In the computer, we call it GIGO. Is that the word, Rick? G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. Is that the way they pronounce that? That's what it amounts to. Garbage in, garbage out. Not just for computer. That's our take in there day by day. Do we have a good nutritional diet, or is it GIGO? Garbage in, garbage out every day. It's same old, same old. I tell you, the attitude that the doctor's talking about, and if you're doing any reading about it, is they say we need to have a joy. Yeah, I hear you. Your attitude. You don't have a good attitude. Well, it's probably my spiritual health, sir. Well, get your spiritual health up. What's your problem? Well, you know, joy in the Lord. I tell you, brethren, this matter of thankfulness and contentment. Hey, if we have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Got a roof over your head? Yep. Got some food to eat? Yep. The Bible says, God says you ought to be content. A lot of people don't have a roof over their head. They don't have anything to eat. Yeah, but I want more than that. That's the problem. You got into this culture that's so deep that that's all you do is more and more and more. I have this little Amish boy, his dad talks about it. It came right up the other day when he was here. He said, you know, something about we were doing something. Dan said to me, it'd be nice to have an extra hand, wouldn't it? He said, yeah, if I had an extra hand, then I'd want another one. We just want more and more, more and more. And therefore, we're just like the moderns, the pagans. We don't have time this daily to talk to the Lord and spend some time. We don't examine our faith by the Word of God. And we're just hearers of the Word, perhaps, but not doers. They talk about burnout. It's a fellow burnout. What do you mean by burnout? Well, you can get so much study of this Bible, and then it's just all it is just study. What's it say in Hebrew? What's it say in the Greek? So on, so on, so on, and so forth. And just get so full of that and not give it forth. Just because you can quote the confession, the Apostles' Creed, because you have some answers. Brethren, we got to apply what we learn. Give it forth. Use some way, give it forth. Whatever God's given you the way to do it, let's give forth. Or you'll get a burnout. You say, I'm so weary, spiritually speaking. I don't seem to have any liberty of the Spirit. Well, you got too much, maybe. Taking in too much, to get out there and do something about it. Share it with somebody else. You say, that's not very kind. Well, that's true. You know, this business, if you just don't exercise. Listen, I can have the world's best diet. I guess there might be that. And I just go at perfection. You know, and just do it right. But if I don't exercise, you have to exercise. You take in the Word of God, but you have to exercise. And if you don't exercise and apply it, is what good is it going to do you? You're going to take a test and get an A or an A+ because you're such a smart fella or gal? Is that what you're trying to do? No, the Bible says that we're to be not only hearers but doers of the Word. So we go to the doctor. Dr. Jesus, the great physician. And say, Lord God, I need some help. Providentially, you hear a message. It just is for Bill Robbins. It just hit him right square where it ought to. That's from God. And God says, all right, Bill, I've told you. Now I want you to take what I've told you, and I want you to obey me. Obey me. Listen to me. Put away your own thoughts. Follow me. And God says, that's a prescription. The great physician is saying, study, but also go out there as we sang those first two hymns. Jesus saves. Christ for the world we sing. Great hymns. Brethren, we're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account, so am I. So just take it tonight as part of the food for spiritual health. This is very important, and I trust the Lord will speak to your heart about the matter. I was going to sing 133. What's that clock look like? Well, I think we'll just go to 133, because it speaks about health in 133. Do you know that? You're speaking about spiritual health, and for 1,000 tongues. In that, you'll find there's mention of health. Perhaps You'll sing with me 133.
He breaks the power of reigning sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. He sees and listening to his voice. New life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice.
Yes, the hymn has said here in that third stanza, music in the sinner's ear, 'tis life and health, yes, and peace. Oh, friends, his blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availeth for me. Our Father, help us to see the great need for spiritual health. For these souls, these spirits will live forever and ever and ever. These bodies, they will die and put in the ground. Our Father, we ask that you would help us, each one individually, and as a church, collectively, that we might please you. Thank you, Lord, for our blessed Lord Jesus. And he's the one that makes the difference, the change. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to believe that we need to study the Word, and that we need to not only study it, but give it forth and apply it. Once again, thank you for this time tonight. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated. Have you questions on these last-minute preparations for our time tonight? Have you some